For more on the politics of religious expression in the workplace, I spoke with Georgette Bennett, president of the Tannenbaum Center for Interreligious Understanding, and Jonathan Siegel, a management attorney with the Pennsylvania-based firm Wolfblock. Siegel said the law protecting religion in the workplace is as vague as it is well-intentioned.
I think the law tries. The difficulty is it includes two parts. One, we can't discriminate based on religious beliefs, practices, etc. The other is we need to make reasonable accommodations on behalf of religious beliefs, practices, and observations. And sometimes what happens is one person's religious rights conflict with another individual's rights. Unlike some areas where the law is pretty clear, religion is somewhat different. The law provides that we can't consider it in decision making, but the law doesn't say that employees have to leave their spirituality at home. And the difficulty becomes, how do you accommodate what sometimes are different viewpoints?
Georgette Bennett, isn't that the crux of the matter when we think about the differing viewpoints, the more atypical religions to the United States?
It's an interesting thing. As Jonathan points out, we do have these two parts of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. However, what kind of bails us out here is case law, because the case law, for the most part, supports an individual's interpretation of religion, so long as it is a sincerely held, consistently practiced belief.
We've seen, Mr. Siegel, of late employees take to task their employers, General Motors being the most recent of the large corporations, where a court in late December of 2005 maintained that General Motors' position was not discriminatory because it did not allow for any religious, what is called affinity groups. Talk to us about this ruling and what it means down the road.
Just because an employee has sincerely held religious beliefs does not necessarily mean that there are not restrictions which an employer can impose on the employee's exercise of them in the workplace. Even where a religious right exists, it has to be balanced against the employer's interest to maintain a workplace. That exact issue arose in the General Motors case, in which the employer allowed affinity groups, groups that for gays and lesbians, Latinos, African Americans, to figure out and discuss certain issues that they had in the workplace. The employer said, we're going to allow affinity groups relative to orientation, to race, to national origin, but not religion. And certain individuals sued, alleging that was discrimination based on religious status.
Let me ask this, Georgette Bennett, pick up on that point, and also talk to me about how important individual managers, if you will, are, and HR departments are in moving this to some kind of conclusion that fits both sides.
Well, let me just pick up on one point with reference to Maransky, which is the General Motors case. Maransky is being appealed. There is often a situation where one has to do a balancing of interests. One of the situations that has certainly become the most troublesome all over the country is this issue of a Christian group forming an opposition to a gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender group. And it's something that employers need to be prepared to address. In terms of the issue of accommodation and the importance of managers, they are very important. Very often, the accommodations are simple to do. They just take a little bit of creativity, a little bit of working with the employee to find out what will work, what won't. The prime legislation addressing this issue right now is Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. However, states also do their own legislation. In New York State, for example, a version of the Workplace Religious Freedom Act, which has been kicking around Congress for several sessions now, has already been enacted. So in New York State, the burden on employers is already greater than Title VII mandates. And if the Workplace Religious Freedom Act is passed, then that is going to create a greater burden on employers.
Mr. Siegel, let me ask you this. How much do you believe the growing clout and political influence of the religious right will ultimately play into how we see the workplace dole out religious expression to employees?
I think the short answer is that it is a political issue and it will manifest itself in the workplace. I don't think employers can or should ignore the strongly held and sincerely felt religious views, but I think employers also need to understand that not everyone shares the same religious or other sensibilities. And sometimes we hear a lot about, you know, red states and blue states. Well, if it only were so simple. You have plenty of red employees in blue states and blue employees in red states, and they not only share states, but they share workplaces.
George Ed Bennett, let me ask you, at the Tannenbaum Center, I'm wondering, as you work with corporations, have you found these religious expressions often come in conflict with each other and therefore put corporations sometimes in a catch-22?
Well, there are situations where they come in conflict, but I do want to make it clear that even though we have this the surging of the influence of the religious right, that is not the only thing that is driving the trend in terms of dealing with religious diversity. We have very powerful demographics driving this, notably changing immigration patterns, and also the aging of the population. There are very solid business reasons why this kind of attention should be paid to religion, that is, paid to every other aspect of diversity, by the way. This has really been the neglected dimension of diversity, and an awful lot of foolish mistakes have been made by companies because they weren't tuned in to the religious dimension of marketing. For example, a jeans manufacturer who had a designer that thought Arabic writing was really lovely, so he took verses from the Quran and had them embroidered on the back of jeans. Well, you can imagine how that sat with devout Muslims.
So, Mr. Siegel, with about a minute to go, we should note, as Georgette Bennett suggests there, this is not an issue that is going away anytime soon, and not only does it affect the employees and employer, but really affects the bottom line and company growth across the board.
Absolutely. And for me, the key often is, if I'm a manager, this is complicated. This isn't an on and off switch. This is a balance. If HR can create a reporting mechanism by which employees and managers bring to the human resource functions concerns, then HR, in a dispassionate way, can sort of objectively balance the sometimes competing interests, but which often, if reasonable people are involved, can be resolved in a way in which everyone's interests are respected to some degree, even if not 100%.
All right. Jonathan Siegel is a management attorney with the Pennsylvania law firm Wolf Block and vice chair of its employment service group. Georgette Bennett is the president of the Tannenbaum Center for Interreligious Understanding in New York. I thank you both.
Thank you.